on a couple of weeks ago, well, last week, my brother preached on why men run. And the week before that, I ministered on understanding detours. But you know, it's just so much more to that. And this morning, we're going to see if we can get an understanding of the reason for the detours. How many of you like being blessed of the Lord? Just let me see your hands. You like being blessed of the Lord. You know, God loves to bless his people. But there's a purpose behind his provisions. In Genesis chapter 50, there's this young man that happened to be in prison. And we know him as his name is Joseph. He was unjustly in prison. And you would not have thought that Joseph, a prisoner, would become a prince in the palace in Egypt. Number one, rarely does God take you from where you are now to where he wants you to be in a straight line. He rarely goes from A directly to Z in order. He may go from A, start you off at A, go to B, then he may take you to Z, come back to T, then he may go to S. I'm saying that God can bounce all around in the way he wants you to get you where he wants you to be. Number two, God allows detours on his road to destiny in order to prepare those who he wants you to impact when you arrive at your destiny. Destiny always involves you benefiting others beyond yourself, because your destiny is never only about you. Let's look at chapter 50 and verse 19 of the book of Genesis. It reads, I'm reading from the New American Standard. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place." Verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." But notice this, "To preserve many provided for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He said, "God brought me here to provide for you, because your destiny is never only about you." There are two reasons where we can hold, that you can hold yourself back from reaching your destiny. Number one, didn't pass the test. You keep failing, so God can't move you to a new grade because you haven't passed a test from the previous grade. You can't pass from the first grade to the second grade when you haven't passed a test in the first grade. You have to repeat. Number two, or so selfish. I'm so selfish. We are so self-centered that he can't use us just for the benefit of somebody else other than us. And if you can't work through you because you only want him to work to you, that you can't display the arrival of your destiny. You will not arrive. You don't have to turn this, but James 1 says, "True religion manifests itself in ministry to others." In the book of Genesis, let's go to Genesis chapter 41 and verse 1. I'll be bouncing just like the Lord bounces in Genesis for a minute. Genesis 41, verse 1. It says, "Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he was standing by the Nile." Okay, let's look at that a minute. So Pharaoh had a dream one night. A dream, I call it a nightmare because it shook him up. It really shook him up. So he calls for his professionals to interpret this dream. Genesis 41 and verse 8 says, "Now in the morning his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the musicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh." Joseph is in prison. Matter of fact, Joseph was in the lowest part of the prison. Pharaoh didn't even know who Joseph was. He has a dream that keeps him up all night, and it troubles him. And he calls and called his paid professionals to help him figure out his nightmare. These professionals can't figure out his nightmare. But Joseph didn't even know who Pharaoh was. Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. The cupbearer knows them both, because the cupbearer was in prison with Joseph and he worked for Pharaoh. So what happened? Verse 9. "Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I would make mention today of my own offenses.'" Verse 10. Pharaoh was furious with his servant, and he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the body guard, both me and the chief baker." Verse 11. "We had a dream on the same night, he and I, each of us dreaming according to the interpretation of his own dream." In verse 12. "Now, a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream." Verse 13. "And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, but he hanged him." All of a sudden, the cupbearer, his memory comes back to him. "Well, Pharaoh, you had a dream that scared you to death." "Well, I had a dream that scared me to death. And there was this Jewish kid in jail who interpreted my dream, and it came about just as it happened." Now, when does the cupbearer remembers Joseph? Because he had forgotten it beforehand. He remembered it in the time of the hookup to occur. He remembered it just as the right time that God wanted him to remember it. God created a nightmare over there, over here, while Joseph was in prison over there, and he doesn't allow the negative events of Joseph to change until that night occurs over here. And it brings it back up into the cupbearer's mind about Joseph. And it says in verse 14, that this is a big point. Verse 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh." Now, here is what we got to know. Joseph had absolutely no idea about the dream. He had never met Pharaoh. He doesn't know what's going on. He is in a hole all by himself. But less than 24 hours, his whole world changes. In 24 hours, he was released from prison and given a shave that gave him a change of clothes, and something else happened. Verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Verse 42, then Pharaoh took off his signet ring off from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. Verse 43, he had him ride in his second chariot. They proclaimed before him, bowed a knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. All of this happened in 24 hours. Joseph is now man now. He is living large now. Joseph had been blessed with stuff, having used his gift. And now he is out of the pit and in the palace. The problem today is most people are satisfied with the blessing. I have a better job, have a job making more money, I'm getting more stuff, I got a better car, I'm wearing nice clothes, a nice house. Remember, your blessing includes you, but it's not only about you. Let's go to chapter 45. The story continues. He is now with his brothers. Joseph is. Joseph is faced with his brothers, who is now over them. Chapter 45 and verse 5, it says, "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. You sold me, and while you were selling me, God was sending me. You thought you were getting rid of me, and God was preparing to use me. You thought you were messing over me, and all you were doing was blessing me." We find ourselves in a rut. We say we are blessed of God. We are children of God. We start complaining, but during that complaining, don't you know God is blessing you? During your pain, during your hardship, don't you know God is blessing you? He is blessing you because you don't understand what he is doing, but he is preparing you for something. If they would have known that their brother was going to wind up being their provider, they would never have sold him. But God let them sell him. God didn't just send him here to live in a bigger lifestyle. He sent him here to preserve you, to preserve them. He sent me here to benefit someone other than myself. That's the part where we don't seem to understand. Everybody wants to be blessed. But once God blesses us, majority of people stop right there. When God blesses you spiritually, that's an important blessing. When he blesses you physically, you know that's good. Circumstantially, oh Lord, bless me some more. When he changes your status in life and he removes you from your negative situation, keep your eyes open for the blessing he wants you to be. See, when he blesses us, he wants you to be a blessing. He blesses you to be a blessing. So many times this is a selfish generation. We said it many times before. God bless me. God bless me. God bless you. And you hold it to yourself. And we used to say in the beginning of this church, you know, we have open hands. God bless me, this hand, it goes through us. We benefit from the blessing, but we have some for our other hand open to bless somebody else. So somewhere along the line, we got lost. So God has to make some detours to straighten us out, to teach us a lesson. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing. It's not just for yourself. If you want to shortcut your destiny, only think about you and not the reason God blessed. And it is always a blessing to somebody else beyond you. Truly, this is the pattern to reach your destiny. How I know it's a pattern, because God will take detours, positive and negative. He will then do something in their life that turned their situation around, and then he will use them to benefit people outside of themselves. God told Abraham to leave the land of his parents. And he said that I want you to go to a land that I will show you, but I'm not going to tell you about in it. I'm not going to tell you about it in advance. I just want you to walk by faith. Now, if you follow Abraham's life, that goes for 25 years. He went through 25 years of God just turning his life around, putting down detours, putting up blockades, before God is setting up where he is grown up enough and responsible enough for God to do what he is going to do. And then God said to Abraham, I want you to bless. He said, I want to bless you. But you're going to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. You're going to bless them. I have a big plan for you, but you're not ready yet. It took 25 years to get him ready for what God wanted to do with his life. It may take 2 years for God to use us to do what he wants with our lives. It all depends on you and what you go through and how quick you learn what God is doing. Now turn to Exodus. I told you I'm going to bounce around in Genesis. We're going to bounce around the Old Testament a little bit. In the book of Exodus, chapter 2, it says, now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. The sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Israel is crying out. Israel is in Egypt. Israel got in Egypt because of Joseph. Joseph brought his brothers to Egypt. He provided for them in Egypt. They were expanding, so Israel became a nation in Egypt. But now they are under bondage in Egypt. They cried out to God. And they say, God, deliver us. Deliver us. God says, I hear you. I hear you. Now we move to chapter 3, verse 1. And Moses was pastoring the flock into Jethro, his father-in-law. Now we jump to Moses all of a sudden. Or did we? Because he says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I got to see what's going on here. In verse 4, he says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside and looked, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Verse 5, then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Verse 6, he says, also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, the Lord says, I am truly seeing the afflictions of my people. We read that in verse chapter 2. Who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. And verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10, therefore come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, all y'all know where I'm going with this now. There's no guesswork. Over here is Israel. All they need, they're crying out for deliverance. So God hears Israel crying out over here. Deliver us, deliver us. He comes over here. Moses, I have some training for you to do. It's going to take me 40 years to get you trained. 40 years you had to lead sheep. And the reason it took me 40 years to train you, because you messed up 40 years ago, which got you kicked out of in this wilderness, because I had to teach you something. I had to remove you when I want you to move when I say move, not when you feel like you want to move. You move when I tell you to move. Moses, hold back. Hold it right there, Moses. I'll be right back. Israel, I still hear you. You're still crying out. Keep on praying. Keep on crying out. He goes back over here. Okay, Moses, I got a bush over there. I need you to turn aside and look at that bush that is burning and not being consumed, because guess what? Over there, they are calling for me. I need a leader, but I need a humble leader. For the last 40 years, I had been taking care of sheep, because you needed to learn how to handle dumb people. So I let you learn to lead and to learn to lead dumb sheep. And now that the sheep are calling me over there, and I have you over here, I'm going to lead you over there to connect with these folk over here, so that you can tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God is always working stuff out. You just can't see it all the time, but God is working stuff out. He is working stuff out in our lives if we take time to pay attention, keep our eyes open. This can apply to any area of your life. See, back then, we didn't have a church and four or five churches on every block. Back then, God needed to work a little different with them, because he needed one man to lead a whole group of his people. He's talking about thousands upon thousands of people out of bondage to let his people go. Every time Abraham, we have to understand what God is doing. I'm trying to think of this girl. Anyway, it'll come to me later. I don't want you to see this as a big thing. God has got to do this big thing for me, and he going to do this big stuff. He calling me over here. He going to bless me big so I can bless these people. You know, God has someone for each one of us to be a blessing to. But we hinder God from blessing us because we won't let go. We take our blessings and we hold our fists closed. I got mine. You get yours the best way you can get it. And you wonder why some people always have stuff, because they're always giving. They're always giving. And we find out somebody's always giving. And a lot of times, we won't say it, but we act it sometimes. We go by, if I can complain a little bit, you know, maybe he'll open his hands up and help me out, help a brother out. You will never get out of your circumstance, your situation like that. It's the same thing. You can relate it to tithes and offerings. God says, I give a seed to the soil. He gives you that seed, and you, what do? With it? You just hold fast to it. You won't let it go. If he said he give the seed to the soil, he wants you to sow on. He'll take care of your need, but he also give you something to help somebody else. We have to learn what a blessing really is. You know, it's a situation happened Wednesday. And I can imagine what God was doing. Wednesday was raining. And I told my brother that I was going to bring him some juice. And it was raining and the traffic. Man, I did not want to leave that house. And Linda was staying home with little bits. And I said, Linda, I'm going out. You don't have to go to the store or anything. She said, no. So I said, well, I'll be back as soon as I can. Because, you know, me and little bits like this. So I left and got my juice made and went up my brother's house. And while I was up there, we sat down and talked a while. Man, I was getting comfortable, and it was pouring down rain. Look at it, raining harder. And I told him, I said, man, I got to go by the hospital, but I sure don't feel like going. If I stay here long enough, I'm going to get in that car and go fight that traffic back home. So thing it occurred, and God had a little detour to come over. I think he got a call, and he had to do something. And I said, well, I ain't going to hold you up no more. I said, let me go ahead. And actually, when I left out there, I was planning on going home. And because, you know, I said, I don't want to go through fight that all that traffic all the way back down the Lothian. And then I got to go way up this way to turn and more traffic up there. So to make a long story short, I got in the car, and I had never spoke to my phone before. And I said, let me try this thing. And it may be a shorter cut than this. I need directions to the hospital. And I gave the name of the hospital. And Liz, and I said, they had three locations came up. And the thing said, and I asked again, I said, I need directions. They said, well, which one? I never used my phone like that before. And I pushed one. Because they all had the same street. And I said, if I find this street, and I know where the hospital is. And I picked the street up, and they said, well, you go out here, and you make a right. And I used to go out there and make a left, going back up Midlothian. Said, make a right, made a right. Then we got to the railroad tracks, said, make a left, went around this little funny street, and got on Midlothian. It says, now make a right, I made a right, went on up 288. Man, you know, there was no traffic at all. I was pretty much the only thing out there. I said, God, well, look out here. So in the meantime, while that was going on, God was over here talking to the person I had to see in the hospital. And he said, look, I know you know of me. He said, you may be talking to, you know, he's talking to you, but it's more than talk. Faith is more than talk. I know what you're going through. I know your situation. And over here, he come over here and talk to me and says, you got to get there. He's ready. He's getting ready for you. You got to get there. Don't worry about the rain. Don't worry about the traffic. He go here. Hold on. I got somebody coming for you. Come over here. Go ahead. It's not going to take as long as you think. I looked at my phone where it said the destination time. It says 17 minutes from the time I left my brother's house, 17 minutes. 17 minutes? Man, it would have taken me a half hour, 40 minutes to go the way I plan on going. Hold on. He'll be here in a while. Come back over here. You got 10 minutes. Well, I think I called Linda. I couldn't get an answer. I think you called me when I first got to the hospital. And I said, look, I said, I'm here. You didn't ask for it. I did call. You didn't ask for it. Wait till I got in the elevator and get in the elevator. I know I can't get on the elevator. She called just as I stepped in the elevator door. So I backed up. She said, yeah, well, I'm here, Linda. Ready to go in. And I said, I know once I get in the elevator, I'm going to cut you off, but I'm letting you know. I said, and as soon as she hung up, another elevator came, opened up. I said, ooh. So I jumped on that. In the meantime, I said, he is right here. Just hold fast and hold on. I'm on the elevator going up. I got to the room, and I tell you the truth. God is good. He is good. what I was trying to avoid, God was setting me, that detour was to set me up to be a blessing to somebody else. Because he had blessed me to all sorts of illness, to all sorts of situations and circumstances. He had blessed me so much, I had to be a blessing to somebody else. Everything I have experienced is to bless somebody else because he's already blessed me. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'll be blessing. I'm blessing anyway and glad in it. So I went up there, and it was funny, though, because it says that I went in and to talk to the young man, and the first thing I said, and it didn't tell you all the information that I said, but the first thing that came, he was really, he was crying. After a while, he just broke down. Because it was fear, for one thing, to what he was getting ready to go through. And it was fear, and it was, you know, we as Christians have to stop talking a good game. We talk about the Lord, and we say how he saved. Yeah, I talked to the Lord, and I prayed, and we're so quick to respond when somebody mentioned Christ or God or Jesus near you. And he no more a part of your life than the man in the moon. Because you know of him, but you don't know him. And this is what I got. So he said, he got to be introduced to me. And the Lord moved like he never moved before. But you know, there's always some stuff to try to, and after it was over and everything was said and done, someone said, do you think, because of somebody, other people have been there prior, do you think that he got it this time? The only thing I could think of is I told him, I says, you know, we just finished talking about faith. You know, and I walked by many caskets. People look so pretty. They look alive. But I said they're dead. I said that because I can't tell by just looking at a person how God is dealing with them. If you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, that's what it means. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, it's been taken care of. I'm done. Later. Amen. And I came on home in the rain to a traffic jam. See, we never know what God has planned. It don't have to be a big thing. It can be small things that God has had people set up for you to be a blessing to in your life. It can be, it can be the gift that God has given you. He's given you all, Pastor Scott, given her loving arms. And she goes out and don't know why. People she don't know, fall in arms, break down. She picks him up, encourages him, says, Jesus got it. Next thing you know, she wrap her arms around, they're gone about the business. But that's how God operates. I can't tell you how long it's going to take you to get in line for him to use you. It can be 24 hours. It can be 2 years. It can be 40. Hope not 40 years. But that's just how he does. And nothing else, I mean, it happens all the time, but we have to stop and realize, God, what are you doing now? That's what I started asking years ago when I saw all this stuff start happening. 1, 2, 3, 4. God, what's going on? What's happening? It was a couple when I was working part time. I'm through, but I'm just going to tell you this.